The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Ben, for that. Wasn't that good? Amen? Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 8. I want to speak to you this morning on controlling the mind. Controlling the mind. There's no better thing to talk about as we head into 2016 and beyond. Look at Philippians chapter 4 again in verse 8, where the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," watch what it says, "think on these things." Somebody said that Christianity is all in the mind. May I say that that is very much a true statement, because primarily your thinking will be that which will direct you in the way that you ought to live your Christian life. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner," listen to it now, "of the thoughts and intents of the heart." They say that the average man will have at least 10,000 thoughts that will cross his mind every single day. God looks at your thoughts, if you will, and he sees your mind as a window without curtains. God looks inside of your mind and he knows exactly what you're thinking. Some people, I say, need to clean up their thinking because their thinking is stinking. So we have to be careful that we do not think the wrong thing. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil all fight for control of your mind. The devil does not want you to think about the right thing. A matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." And watch what it says. "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So you can become so wearied that you will faint in your minds. Now, why is that? Well, you think about how complex the human mind really is. By the way, you never thought or even heard about a canary thinking about suicide. You never saw a dog go out and commit dogicide. Never saw anything like that. But it's the human mind. Many times the human mind is very complex, and because of that, many people will lean towards the imaginary. We have to be careful that we allow God to be able to control our mind. The book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So we understand that man has imagination. We understand that man has evil imagination. The book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible is speaking here, and God is talking about those that have a reprobate or a rejected, a reprobate mind, that he rejects that mind. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, as Paul here speaks, the Bible says, "With the mind I myself serve the law of God." And so many times where we start to serve the Lord is with our mind, with our heart. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For the righteousness," it says, "man," it says, "dwelling among them and seeing and hearing," it says, "vexed his righteous soul from day to day," it says, "with their unlawful deeds." Now, how is it that you and I could work on our minds? What is it that we can do? Let me give you a couple of statements. Understand that what you see and what you hear are very important. As you head into 2016, you have to be very, very careful what you see and what you hear. Somebody said what you see with the eye gate, what you hear with the ear gate will affect the heart. And so you have to be very, very careful what you see and what you hear. You know, when the mind is right, the actions will be right. Somebody said, you are not what you think you are, but what you think You are. And so it's very important that we think on the right things. Psalm 23 and in verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It says, eat and drink, saith he to thee. It says, but it says, his heart is not with thee. And so a person can have the outwardness of things right, but yet the inwardness of the heart could be wrong. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, behind every human tragedy is a slow process of evil, wicked thinking. Sir Francis Bacon said this. He said, you ask me what I think of this present generation. He says, I do declare unto you, you tell me what the young people of this generation is thinking, and I'll tell you what tomorrow's generation will be like. Someone said this, thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce lifestyles. If you take somebody and you put them into a room and then you begin to pump in all the negativity, I mean, you begin to call them names, you begin to down their character, and you pump that in and you pump that in and you pump that in, after a while, you let that young person out, you let that adult out, and they will come out as negative as what was pumped in. You take a person and you put them in a room and you pump in the positive, the positive, the positive, the positive, the positive, the positive. And after a while, when you let them out, they're going to have a higher thinking than when they went in, simply because you filled their minds and their hearts. I remember a young man getting up to preach, and when he preached, he didn't do very well. But when he came down off of the platform and I talked to him, I said, now I'll tell you what, man, you did what I believe was a spectacular job. And by the way, you could see the countenance change. He lit up. You know why? Because somebody believed in him. You know, you could take and believe in somebody and help them along the way. You could believe in somebody and encourage them to go farther. You could help somebody to be able to take that very next step. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying that what you see and what you hear is very important. We lived in Brooklyn, New York for years. And when we lived in Brooklyn, New York, I remember one time I took the kids down to Fifth Avenue there in Brooklyn, and that was a place where we hung out on Saturdays, often more than not, and we'd go soul winning there on Fifth Avenue. I never forget, I had about 40 teenagers out soul winning on Saturday, and I said, hey, let's do something just for fun. I said, when I point, I want everybody to stand still and just start looking up. And so I pointed. Everybody stood still, and they just started looking up. Before you know it, everybody else that was walking by started looking up. Then I said, why? I said, now you do what I do. About four of you kind of pick it up. I said, I'm going to point you, 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 and you. When I point, I want you to point and say, wow. Can you do that? So we got about 40 teenagers. They're all looking up. All of a sudden, I point and said, wow, look at that. Another guy point, wow, look at that. Another girl, wow, look at that. For you know it, we had strangers that were standing there. Wow, I see it. Look at that. You say, what is that? That's called influence. Influence. We had this guy when I was in high school, always itched his nose. It was funny to watch him. But he just had this habit. I mean, I don't know if the nose really itched or not, but he had a habit. He'd sit there and you'd watch him sitting at his desk, and after a while, you knew it was coming. I mean, you just knew it was coming. It was him. You know, he'd just go like this. You look around after a while, you see somebody else going like, and somebody else is going, just like some of you right now, you're going like. Habit. Habit. You see, you are a person that influences other people. But can I tell you that you get influenced also by what you see and by what you hear? Now, because of that, let me give you another statement. Statement number two, you need to spend time transforming your thoughts. Spend time transforming your thoughts. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The book of Romans chapter 12, you know it very well, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, so what do? We spend time transforming our mind. What does that mean? When you transform something, that means that you change it. There's an inward change, if you would please, that produces an outward change. Okay? Don't get the cart before the horse. Has to be the inward change first. You can't expect a non-Christian to live like a Christian. First, there has to be the transformation of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. That's where it all begins. And by the way, some people grow slower than other people. Some people are fast growers. Some of our children, I know Jared, our youngest son, he's the tallest among all of our boys and among our daughter. And I don't know what he ate, I don't know what he drank, but can I tell you, he sprung. He sprung. We were out Monday together as a family, and we were over in the Burlington Coat Factory, and in walked this giant. I think his brother was named Goliath. And in walked this giant, and man, I'm looking up. I mean, this guy is way up here, okay? Now, wait a minute, watch. Can I tell you, something happened, DNA, whatever, but he sprung. He sprung. You know, people's growth is like that. When I got saved, I dove. I dove. Man, I was so excited about getting saved, I dove. If they didn't have church one night, I was wanting them to have church. I mean, I just wanted to be there. I wanted to live it. I wanted to breathe it. I wanted to take and be there every waking hour. I did not want to miss anything at church. Man, I just dove into it. When the pastor said, hey, let's go soul winning, I'll be there. Pastor said, I need somebody lead singing in junior church. I'll do it. Have you ever led singing before? No, don't know the first thing about it. But I'll do it. Show me how to do it. I'll do it. He said, I need somebody to help on a bus route. Bus what? What's a bus route? He said, that's where you go around and help pick up people. Hey, count me in. I'm there. I mean, I just dove in everything. You know why I dove in everything? Because God placed that inside of me. And by the way, listen to me. When God puts something inside of you, you don't ignore that. The happiest person in all the world will be a person that serves God inside of the will of God. David Livingston said, I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than sitting on the throne of England outside of the will of God. All right? But there has to be that transforming power that takes place. There's no biologist that's out there that can change the caterpillar into a butterfly. It happens on the inside. And it has to happen on the inside of you where God changes you. So you get that word of God in you. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, that will keep him in perfect peace. By the way, you can't get any better than perfect. So God said, I'm going to give you perfect peace. I'm going to give you a mature peace. Now this is what he says. How do you get that? He says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, when your mind is stayed on him, by the way, stand up if you would please, Brother Craig. My mind can be stayed on him, and I'm not going to get perfect peace because he cannot give me what I need. But when my mind is stayed on Christ, I can get a perfect peace. I can get a mature peace. Now, he can help me. He can pat me on the back. He can pat me on the back. He can encourage me. He can try to help me along. But can I tell you, that is not going to work when I need the peace that only God can give. And that's how come our Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things, it says, are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, here it is, think on these things. So I'm supposed to think on those things. I'm supposed to keep my mind clean. I'm supposed to flush it. And make sure that all the garbage is flushed out. Okay? I'm supposed to have those godly thoughts. I'm supposed to be much in prayer. I'm supposed to have much grace. But how do I do that? I spend time transforming my mind. You know, what you read will have an effect on you. What you listen to has an effect on you. Remember years ago, there was an evangelist. He was in Jacksonville, Florida, and he saw this guy walking down the street, and he's going like this. You know, walking down the street, going like this. And all of a sudden, he thought, oh, man, the guy's having a seizure. So he dove out of the car. He ran over. He tackled the guy. He took him down. Come to find out, he wasn't having a seizure. He was listening to his radio. But you see, that transformed his actions because of what he was putting in his mind. And we were out shopping the other day, and I looked across. Here's a lady in her 60s. Now, by the way, for those of you that are older than 60, I don't really think that's old. But she had her hands on the wheel, and she's just going like this. And I thought, what in the world? Here's a lady in her 60s, and she's bebopping along in a car. Now, can I tell you, it just did not look natural. The mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. You take the world in, you take the corruption in, you take the wrong in, and eventually it shows up on you. Statement number one, okay? What you see and what you hear is important. Statement number two, spend time this year, 2016, transforming your thoughts. Statement number three, okay? Know your mind and feed it well. Know your mind and feed it well. You know, we need to know how to be able. I love history. I love reading history. I love reading books on leadership. You know, I love things to read in my pastime that will sharpen me. I love stuff like that, okay? Now, I spend ample time in the Bible and stuff, but I'm saying these other things have my interest as far as the history and the leadership and stuff like that as well. And so I will read some of that stuff like that. And can I tell you, when I read some of the stuff like that, it gives me ideas how to help my staff, how to help the church. When I read history, I'm studying World War II right now, and I'm watching even a documentary on it right now and seeing how it all came to be to refresh. Now, can I tell you, when I read stuff like that and I see stuff like that, it makes me appreciate all that God has done for me. It makes me appreciate all the liberties and the freedoms that God has given. What's that doing? That's sharpening the mind. Sharpening the mind. The Bible says that a friend can sharpen the countenance of a friend. As iron sharpeneth iron. I love to be around people that will take and sharpen me to make me more of what I should be for Christ. I don't want to get around somebody that's going to dull me. I want to get around somebody that will sharpen me. I was raised in Hampstead, Maryland, and worked on a ranch for a little while, and then, of course, you know, over at the rodeo and stuff like that. And I remember one time going home for summertime, and my dear mom and dad had let the almost like trees grow up around the mailbox. And it was horrible. I don't see how the mailman could find the mailbox. So I went in, got a machete out of the shed, took it over to the grinding stone, sharpened that machete. Now stay with me now. Sharpen that machete. I got out there, started holding that tree back, taking that machete, and as hard as I could, I was whacking that. As hard as I could. I mean, and I bent it over my leg, and I was whacking that, and I missed. And I hit the bone. Now, can I tell you, when I hit the bone, I knew the impact had taken place. I knew that probably there's a lot of damage, and I didn't stand there and say, let me assess this. Now, I went running into the house, and I said, Mom, and of course the blood was pouring out. I said, I think I got a problem. And she looked down, and she said, yep, you got a problem. And her being mom said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I said, well, I think if I can put something in there and stop it a little bit, that would probably help, because I really don't want to die on the kitchen floor. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Did you know that when the Word of God speaks to you and it shows you something sharp, And when the Word of God pierces you, did you know that you don't have to sit there long to know that God is speaking to you? You don't have to say, well, I wonder what that was all about. No, it's good to be in a place where God can speak to your heart, and He does want to transform that mind. So know how to feed your mind and know that it needs it. And there's three different types of minds. Let me give it to you and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14, the Bible says, but the natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, Joseph, come here if you will. And so just lay down right here and face straight up, if you will, on your back and face straight up. Here we go. So the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. So here's a person that's natural, person not saved, person that's unsaved. They come to church, and as they come to church, they're not a Christian. Preacher gets up. By the way, they have no spiritual appetite. No spiritual appetite. Their sensors, if you would please, are not alert to spiritual things because they have no Holy Spirit working in them. So they cannot comprehend spiritual things. They're dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sin. All right? So don't get mad at somebody. We run buses. We have 9 bus routes, and we bring young people in. We have all sorts of services going on right now, and in those services, they're getting the preaching of the Word of God. For some of those dear young people, this is the first time they've ever been to church. This is the first time they've ever had to sit still to hear somebody teach or preach. All right? And so what happens is we bring somebody in, or we talk to them on the street, we witness to them, we give them the gospel. Before they get saved, they're dead in trespasses and sin. They don't understand it. You know, to be able to take the Bible and say, did you get it? Did you get it? No. What are you talking about? They don't understand it because they're dead in trespasses and sin. But now when they get saved, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit now, when they receive Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within and He quickens them. He makes them alive. Now when they come to church, have a seat right here, they sit on the edge of their seat, and man, they're so excited. They're paying attention. I mean, you know, they're hungering and they're thirsting after righteousness. Man, they just want it. So the preacher's preaching, and of course, in his case, he's bouncing in his seat, you know, and you know, he's just excited. You know, well, why? Because he's wanting something. And by the way, don't lose that. Don't ever get to the point and to the place where you come to church and say it's ho-hum. Now, I realize that most churches are dead, but that doesn't mean that you have to be dead. Amen. You know, my Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, you don't have to come to, it's not a funeral service. You know, let the dead bury the dead. But don't let Parkside Baptist Church become one of them. You know, in church, listen, here's what we understand. That I love this. On Sunday, people have opportunity, hear the gospel, walk down an aisle, receive Jesus Christ as Savior. God quickens them. When God quickens them, He makes them alive in Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, they become alive. When they become alive, now they can grow. A while back, I was over at McAllister's. I was walking by two girls. I said this a couple weeks ago. We're sitting there. It still impresses me. They're reading their Bibles. Wasn't church time. After church, wasn't no preacher standing over them saying, read the book. Wasn't none of that. They're reading their Bible. So I asked them, why are you doing that? They said, we want to grow. We want to grow. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And so He quickens us. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 7, the Bible talks about that here is that person that has been quickened, but still they have fleshly attributes. They're carnal. All right? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it says, and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, by the way, the church of Corinth was that way. The church at Corinth, a man of God would stand up and preach. They would sit back. They would yawn. They would be tired. They wouldn't pay attention. Maybe back then, if they would have had cell phones, they'd be texting. You know, they just weren't paying good attention. They were carnal. In other words, they allowed the flesh to be able to control them. They were ones that behaved in that which was the works of the flesh. And by the way, we have a choice every single day. Do I want to obey in the spirit or do I want to obey in the flesh? It is up to you. You have to choose. The flesh will always choose cliques, make immature decisions. Church is not important to them as much as a person it is when they're spiritual. So they can come to church, not come to church, doesn't matter. Preacher can preach it hot or preacher can preach it cold, doesn't matter. You know, they have a hard time staying awake in church. They have a hard time paying attention in church. You know why? Because that flesh. By the way, what you feed is what you get. So you've got to decide that you're not going to feed the wrong things in. You know, the flesh is easily offended. You show me somebody that's offended, walking in the flesh. Okay? The flesh is easily offended. The flesh many times will feel alone, but they're always wanting a new high. They've got to have the amusement. They've got to have the delight. They look for the outward pleasures. That's the flesh. They want to live at Disneyland, Disney World, Six Flags over and under Texas. Man, they've just got to have it. When they come to church, if the preacher is not entertaining, they lose their train of thought. And that's the flesh. Okay? But wait a minute. The spirit is what God wants to control us. That spirit, the flesh, you got to spoon feed. They get easily bored. Easily bored. And so the flesh is somebody who just sits there, man, can't wait to get out. Wish he'd hurry up. They're going to burn my steak. Wish he'd hurry up. Lines are going to get long. Hurry up. I got to take an afternoon nap. Wish he'd hurry up. Okay, that's the flesh. By the way, invariance, and always there's the natural man and the spiritual man. Now, hey, flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. Flesh doesn't want to pray. Flesh doesn't want to obey God. You know, flesh says, hey, man, come on. You know, I got to go watch the ball game. Flesh, flesh, flesh. Then all of a sudden, there's the spirit. Now, this is the spiritual-minded one. Here it is. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 15, the Bible says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know why? Because he's living here. He doesn't live so questionably that people are able to easily pass a judgment. He's living above reproach. So when he's living up here, nobody can say, well, I wonder why he's doing that. Maybe he does or does not love God. He's living above the question mark. That's why in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And there's a young man came to me. Thank you, Joseph. Be seated. There's a young man came to me at youth camp, and he said this, or a youth conference. He said, Brother Wells, he said, I'm just having trouble just figuring out what my big sin is. I'm just having trouble. I don't know what my big sin is. And I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you get on your knees and guess? Get on your knees and guess. He got on his knees and started confessing his sin. He said, man, he said, when I started confessing my sin, I think I hit it the first time. You know why? Because God will reveal to you. Come on. Now, I don't think everybody can walk around all the time smiling. I don't think that's natural. You know, I broke my finger. Man, I love Jesus so much. I broke my arm. And I just walked around for the next 3 days praising God. Got a broken arm. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Never knew how wonderful it was to get a broken arm. I'm just praying that God will break the other one in. It's so good. It's not natural. But it's also not natural for you to walk around all the time being gloomy. It's not natural. You know, woe is me. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go eat work. It's not natural. It's just not natural. You know, the natural thing for the believer that's walking with God is to have a reasonable desire. The Bible says that the righteous hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a hunger and there's a thirst. A friend of mine owns a popcorn factory. He has Amish people that work for him up in Indiana. It's called Amish Country Popcorn. And he's a dear friend. And he and I have worked together for many years. And so we will partner together to send some off from time to time. And so he raises this popcorn. And can I tell you, I love to sit at night. Probably one of the healthiest things you could ever do in your life is around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night and eat popcorn. It's got to be something healthy about that. And so, man, I get that Amish Country popcorn, and I'll begin to eat that. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Can I tell you, what goes in shows up? Because when you take enough in, it begins to show up. Come on. We had Larry Brown. I told the story. Larry Brown came, and he did our couples retreat this year, and then we had him preaching to church, and 69 years of age, when he pastored in Iowa, the hospital, I don't know, was a 45-minute ride on a bicycle. He said, no sweat. He'd get on his bike, he'd ride it 45 miles or so to the hospital, make a visit, get back on the bike, ride it back to the church. 69, he was telling me the other day, he said, man, I can't wait. There's a 20-some mile ride that's coming up. It's a race. And he said, I can't wait to ride it. He said, I'm so excited. I'm beside myself. And by the way, when he says he's beside himself, he's beside himself. He said, I just can't wait to ride it. I'm so excited. We went down to the Dallas Aquarium. We walked in, and this was at the couples retreat. There's these long steps going way up, very steep. Dr. and Mrs. Brown, we were hosting them. I looked at him and I said, hey, there's an elevator right here. You want us to take, I was trying to be considerate of his age. There's an elevator right here. You want to take the elevator? He said, oh no. He said, if you're taking the steps, we're taking the steps. We can hang with you. And by the way, they did. They hung with us and sometimes even outshined us. They had these low fished bowl tanks, you know. I mean, you know, the bottom would be here. The glass was about here. He'd get down on his knees. He'd jump down, jump down, jump down. He'd jump down on his knees and look at the fish in there. His wife would jump down on her knees. They'd look at the fish. And he'd say, preacher. I said, no, I like the top view. You know, he's down there looking at the fish, you know. And he said, man, this looks so neat. And they jumped back up. He said, ready to go. I said, this is great. You know, we went home, went to bed. They went to the hotel, got on their bikes and rode 50 miles. No, I'm kidding. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, he had in his mind, can I help you out a little bit? See, I think some of us in Christianity, we think we're older than what we are. Well, you know, I can't serve God, preacher, because after all, I'm 50. I can't serve God, preacher, because I'm old. I'm 60. But preacher, I can't serve God. I mean, I'm almost ready to go home to be with Jesus. I'm 70. Preacher, I just don't have any energy left. I'm 80 and I just can't. No, no, no. I think you can serve God if you want to.
Amen.
Come on. Went over to the Wislowski's neighborhood yesterday, spent a little bit of time with his dear wife, and see if we could be a help, you know, since those tornadoes came through. And my wife and I was walking through the neighborhood, and can I tell you, people walking through the neighborhood, they didn't act like they were depressed. And there's a guy right next to him. He's cutting up a tree, you know, walked outside. We're getting ready to leave, waved, he smiled. Come on. Now, can I tell you, you can face anything that you want to face with the Lord. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're going to have great peace when your mind is stayed on Him. Preacher, how can I make it through in 2016? What if tragedy comes? You take your mind and you put it on Him. Well, preacher, what happens if I get a flat tire? What happens if all of a sudden tornado hits my house? What do I do? You keep your mind stayed on Him. Well, what happens, preacher, if all of a sudden cancer hits my body, if a heart attack hits my body? Hey, you can have great peace if your mind is stayed on Him. You've got to decide that you put your mind on Him. Keep your mind on Him. Don't put your mind on somebody else. You put your mind and your heart on somebody else, they're going to let you down. They're going to defeat you. They're going to discourage you. They're going to do something that disappoints you. Hey, they're human. Flesh is real. Humanity is there. But can I tell you, He'll never defeat you. He'll never discourage you. He'll never break His word to you. Keep your mind stayed on Him. Hey, look for ways to do that. You don't always have to walk around saying, well, I tell you, the end of the world is coming. But you don't have to bring it to your front door. You know, what if we get invaded? Spray them with pepper spray. But you don't have to be somebody that's always, what do I do? Hey, listen, if you keep your mind stayed on Him, the Feinsteins took us down. We went to Christmas, 12 days of Christmas. Beautiful thing, beautiful thing. And we walked around. We had a triple date. The Butlers was invited to. We walked around, you know. And Mrs. Feinstein, she's saying, well, you know, preacher, what is this? And it was like number two or number three. And I don't know. You know, it was like two hoses squirting or something, you know. And I couldn't remember any of the thing. And so, but now, man, we walked around, you know, we're looking at all the lights. We had a good time just being together. You know, you can have a good time. Went over a member's house recently, a member said, hey, preacher, you want to play dominoes? I said, man, I hadn't played dominoes probably in 20 years. I said, if you remind me how to play, I'll play dominoes. Come on. Showed me how to play dominoes. I caught it. I remembered. And so we played okay, well, no, wait a minute. Are you listening to me? Went out soul winning yesterday. Went out soul winning last week. Went out soul winning the week before. Had the privilege to see some people get saved. Now, can I tell you, but was excited about it. Whose mind is stayed on Thee. Okay, watch. Here we go. Two different types of people come to church. I'm done. Here it is. Two different types of people come to church here today. There are those that came and said, man, I'm going to get something out of it. Woo! It's going to be good. Man, I can't wait. Can't wait. You know, they come to church. Man, I just can't wait. Boy, it's going to be so good. Man, I just can't wait. It's going to be so good. Man, I'm looking for that gold nugget. Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to find that gold nugget. Yes, it's going to be so good. You know, then somebody else comes to church, well, I'm here. And I just made it in. Fought World War III. I'm here. Man, bless me if you can. I dare you to try. Come on. I'm saying you control your mind. You control your mind. I'll stand out there shaking hands. Somebody come by and say, man, that message. Wow, boy, that really spoke to my heart. Man, God was all over that. Next person to come up and say, man, I tell you what, praying that you do better tonight, Pastor. Maybe I'll get something if I do decide to come. Come on. The mind. Brother Jones will come up and he'll shake. He's got that gorilla handshake. He'll come up, Brother Jones will come up, and he always starts back here. And he's coming in. You know you're about to get it. He's got the gorilla handshake coming in, and he'll grab it. He goes deep, he'll grab it, and he'll shake with the elbow. It's good to see you. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Now, watch. But he's got that smile. He's got that smile. Brother Bell, probably because he's married to Mrs. Bell, standing in the back there, he's got that cheesy smile. You know, I say, how you doing, Brother Bell? He just smile real big. I'm doing good. How you doing? You know, got that. All right, wait a minute. Are you right here? Right here. They're thinking, okay, I want to be happy when I go to church. I want to enjoy church. I want to get something out of church. By the way, that's the way we need to be in 2016. You know, just aside, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a spiritual mind. I'm going to take the spiritual stuff in. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. Church member came up to a preacher years ago and said, I tell you what, I don't think I'm growing anymore. He said, that's a shame. When did you stop reading your Bible? Now the church member's talking about, I'm coming to church not getting anything out of it. Preacher knew where he was. He said, what a shame. When did you stop reading your Bible? Did you read it this morning? And he grilled him. Well, no, I really didn't have time. Did you read it yesterday? No, really didn't have time. You know, your Bible is like vitamins. You stop taking them after a while, and it shows up. You get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Father, help us, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.